Welcome back to another podcast. This is Eye on Digital Marketing. I am your host, Chuck Forbes. This is the first episode in 2020. Happy New Year to all the listeners out there. Don't forget, you can follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at More Visibility. And if you want to go to our website and check out our newsletter sign up, put in your email address and we'll send you monthly updates, great marketing tips and insights from our team here at More Visibility. And speaking of our team here, today's guest is Caitlin Joya, Campaign Manager. Caitlin, how are you?
Great. How are you doing, Chuck?
I'm doing fine. And we want to talk about LinkedIn today. We've talked about LinkedIn before on the podcast. It's been 8 months or so since we've really brought up this topic. Max was the last one to come on and talk about LinkedIn. No surprise there. He loves LinkedIn, but this platform is always growing. It's a great platform, especially if you're in B2B with the targeting, right? So today we want to get granular and definitely talk about the different ad units, assets, and some strategy. But first, at a high level, Caitlin, can you tell the listeners, because you manage campaigns on a daily basis, why is LinkedIn still considered such a great marketing platform heading into 2020? And why should it be on your radar if it's not in your digital channel mix already?
Right. Perfect question, Chuck. And as you mentioned, Max was the last one to talk about it 8 months ago.
Yeah.
And in that 8 months, it's grown so much, just exponentially. One, on the targeting side, the abilities to target different demographics, as well as the ad specs. You know, it's expanded so much, and we'll dive into that. But one of the reasons why it's so great for a B2B is, one, its ability to get in front of users who are in that professional mindset.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I mean, think of LinkedIn as the more business-oriented version of Facebook, right?
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah, you and I go on LinkedIn to look at industry topics, new upcoming ideas, or, you know, conferences going on.
Right.
We also go on Facebook to look at what our friends are doing. So you have to think of it kind of as the more professional, more beneficial Facebook in that realm.
So if you're trying to reach an audience in that professional mind state, then you would want to favor LinkedIn more than you would another social platform.
Absolutely. You can imagine people who are on LinkedIn, they want to maybe download a white paper, or they want to sign up for a webinar, or, you know, learn more. They're in that learn more mindset compared to Instagram or Twitter or Facebook.
I like that. The learn more mindset. So let's learn more then about the ad units that LinkedIn has available for advertisers to use. There's a couple of them. Caitlin, can you run down those type of ad units and kind of what makes each of them unique?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are several different types of ad units on LinkedIn, such as carousel ads, single image assets, or video. Mm-hmm. However, the best performing ad units that we've seen thus far are single image sponsored content, as well as lead generation, which you and I both know we run that constantly with various different clients.
Yep.
Now, starting with lead generation ads are great if a business wants to, say, collect emails for a white paper or a newsletter. They want to gain their email list. They want to grow their email list. Lead generation is the best bet. Why? Well, it's lead form. So by that, I mean LinkedIn does a great effort in not forcing the user to add in information.
Right.
What they do is they ask for your email, your first and last name, and your company. What the great thing is that is they're able to pre-populate that information based upon your LinkedIn profile. So the only thing they need to provide or really do
is click submit.
Is click submit, exactly. That's the only thing they need to do.
Right.
So really it's a no-brainer to click it.
Right. And lead generation, I think that term, you know, when we talk to clients, especially, and they're not doing LinkedIn lead gen, and their goal is to obviously attract new clients or, you know, get people to their website in the form of a lead, that term is so attractive, lead gen. But it's still important to keep in context that you still have to have the right targeting and, like you said, the right messaging, because just because you're running lead gen ads, if you don't have an incentive for someone to even just do one click, they may not.
Yes, exactly. And one of the great points is having the ad copy that you're representing on your lead generation. also be mirroring your creative, right? You want the two to speak together. Because a user isn't going to the website, they're staying within that platform. You want the two of them to speak together and
that's a great point.
Have a story.
Yeah. So when you say they're not going to the website, so users can kind of visualize if they haven't seen this lead gen form, like you're in your LinkedIn feed, it pops up, your information is already pre-populated. Once you hit submit, that lead goes to whoever that advertiser is, but you're still on LinkedIn.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. So that individual, say you saw a lead generation form and you want to give your email, you want this white paper, right? Well, you never leave LinkedIn. In fact, the lead generation pops up within LinkedIn. Once you submit your information, you have a secondary window that pops up that says, thank you for your submission. You know, XYZ business will reach out to you. With that in mind, you're essentially never interrupting your session. You're never going to the website. You may want to follow up on your own personal time.
Sure.
But LinkedIn has collected your information so that advertiser, us, has your email at the ready.
It sounds like that would be so great for mobile users. Have you seen anything that, you know, data that reflects that mobile users are likely more apt to fill out like a LinkedIn lead gen form if they're on that app versus seeing an ad, even a search ad on mobile? And like you said, I have to go through maybe 4 to 5 different steps. I'm going through different web pages. And I think people still underestimate what that means to the user experience. You know, if you have to click something that goes to another web page, if you're walking with your phone and you happen to have bad service and the load time is slow, you just lost that lead, right? That extra click, if they get to your website and maybe they have to scroll a little bit, like you're adding unnecessary steps and LinkedIn keeps you in there. Have you seen anything that says like that it's better for mobile versus desktop?
Yeah, you're right. That's a great question. You touched on so many great points on the fact that one, we are seeing an increase of lead generation focused on mobile devices as opposed to desktop. And the secondary point that you raised, which is the user experience. You know, in this day and age, you see so many statistics saying that our attention span has decreased.
Yeah.
So the fact that if a secondary window were to open, we would already lose interest. We want to stay single track mind and spend as little time as possible and reap the rewards, whether it's a white paper or an email sign up.
Makes complete sense. Okay, let's move on to a different ad unit that you mentioned.
Yeah, sponsored content image ads. Now, these are, as they sound, it's one image within the generic sponsored content ad format. Now, these are best if a marketer wants to drive more traffic to the site because that user is actually going right to the website.
Okay.
Or they want to increase visibility, or they want to increase more engagement to the ad unit. With that in mind, likes, shares, posts, comments, those types of engagement actions.
Okay. And visually, I think this looks maybe a lot more like what you would see in Facebook. And I'm using Facebook as a reference. I think that's probably the most popular, you know, ad platform where people can visualize what it looks like. So this one, if you saw it on LinkedIn in your feed and you click on it, you're now going to wherever that advertiser wants you to land on, whatever that destination is.
Yes, that the business URL, their landing page.
And single image, so it's not a carousel. You're not scrolling. It's just one image in there, one link out, and you probably have maybe a couple headlines of text to play around
with. Yeah, you're going to have a description, a headline. You want those to be captivating. Like we mentioned with the lead generation, you want them to mirror each other, right? If your headline talks about sign up for a consultation, you don't want your creative to say, download this white paper. It's going to throw the user off. They're not going to know what they're going to get. And they're ultimately not going to go to the website and take the action that you want them to.
Yep. Makes sense. Okay. What if I have multiple images? Is there an ad unit for me that I can upload here?
Well, yeah, there's so many things you can do. One, carousel ads, if you have multiple images, if they flow together, we absolutely recommend carousel imagery. But if you have multiple images, the best thing to do really in mind is test, say, all 2 or 3 of them, how many you have.
Yeah.
The best thing to do is test the imagery. The reason why I say that is the more images we can test, the better data and numbers we have to tell the marketer, you know, this works best.
Yeah. So if I had 3 images, hypothetically speaking, that I think are great images and I'm not sure which one performs better, instead of maybe throwing all 3 of those into the same ad unit where a user could scroll, it may be best to tailor my strategy and have three different ads running and then narrow it down based on performance.
Exactly. We would want to set, say, those three ads live with, for now, let's say the same headline description, because the variable is the creative.
Sure.
So say the creative has three different colors or three different images. That way we can tell, after 2 or 3 weeks worth of data, which one is populating the most amount of engagement, which one is driving conversions, or which one is driving social engagement.
Got it.
From there, we like to typically recommend switching out creative every other month. That way the ad doesn't get ad fatigue.
Sure.
Right? If we're targeting the same audience group for about 2 months, they will be continuously seeing that ad and they'll just swipe right through. They'll scroll and there's, you know, we're going to be getting impressions, but no clicks.
Right. Makes sense. Okay. So we have our lead gen forms, we have our sponsored content, image ads, and then we have carousel ads if you want to test that. Let's dive a little bit deeper now into the targeting. And we talked about before on the podcast in previous episodes, you know, you can target on LinkedIn many different ways, but we haven't really talked about that much is the ability to use lists. And we have these discovery sessions with clients all the time where they say, all right, you all have been harping LinkedIn. We want to run LinkedIn. I have all this data on potential users that I want to target. Like, what can I do with it? And maybe they send like an Excel sheet that has, you know, 5,000 emails or whatever it may be. But Caitlin, from your perspective, from running the campaigns and setting it up, what kind of lists are you looking for and what could those lists do?
Lists are great for LinkedIn. Lists are great for targeting. They provide a base, really. There are two different types of lists that can be implemented within LinkedIn. The first one being a company-based list, a list of company names.
Got it.
The second,
just the company name, not the actual people at the company, like the brand name itself.
Followed by email-based lists. So an individual email user. This can either be a personal email or a company email, either or. What this allows us to do is we can target specific companies or email lists tied to that personal LinkedIn profile.
Right.
And people oftentimes ask questions and say, you know what, I don't trust this lead because it's a personal email. And with that, we often say, well, when you make your LinkedIn profile, you're not using your company email, right? You're using your personal email. So there's no need to disqualify or discredit that personal email because it says it's from a Gmail or it's from an Outlook.
Great point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of times the sales team will throw those aside and not follow up with them as quickly because it's not at more visibility or something like that. And that could definitely be a mistake, especially all the things we talked about being pre-populated right from your profile.
And who knows, that Gmail could be a CEO of company, but because you think Gmail...
That's true.
Low qualified.
What if I had both type of lists and I gave them to you? Would you recommend using both at the same time for the same campaign, or would you split them, or does that depend on like the audience size after you upload the list to LinkedIn? Like how does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. If we want more data, the better.
Okay.
However, I wouldn't want to include them in the same campaign. I would want to separate them in different campaigns.
Got it.
That way we can tell the marketer, listen, we actually saw better engagement with the company's names as opposed to the email list. You know, those email lists, they saw possibly eyes, but weren't converting.
Sure.
We need to tell the story of, you know, so-and-so is working better because of X, Y, Z.
Do you have an opinion based on the type of campaigns in LinkedIn you've run on what list works better, or does it really depend on what you're advertising?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
So if your goal in mind is to get conversions, you want someone to sign on the dotted line, sign a contract.
Sure.
I would say go with emails as opposed to company names.
Because you're going directly at them?
At that specific person.
Okay.
Whereas say we're targeting more visibility, right? Mm-hmm. And we're targeting the entire company.
Right.
And I want them to sign on the dotted line. I could be getting the intern as well as the CEO, but I know the intern isn't signing that contract.
That makes a great point. So by targeting the company, you're putting a broad umbrella over that entire company, even though likely your ad is trying to hit a few people or one specific department, right?
Yes, exactly.
Got it. That makes sense. Video has been so hot, especially the past couple years really in advertising. I think advertisers rolled out with video, learned how to use it. We used to see a lot of really long videos that took like 40 seconds to get down to the point and were like, hey, that's not going to work. Like the attention span, like you said today, is so minimal. But let's talk a little bit about the type of assets, including video, that you can use on LinkedIn and what you've seen, you know, work well versus maybe what you think people should test. We talked about the images, but what's your opinion on using video or maybe like animations on LinkedIn, given the platform that it is? Is there success that could be held there?
Absolutely. So kind of reverting back to the Facebook example, right? When you're on your mobile device or even on a desktop, we are so accustomed to seeing images that at this point in time, images don't pop out to us. Whereas videos, it's something new, it's something different, it's animated. I'm more willing to stop and take a few seconds and seeing what this video is about. That's the same mindset with LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn has come out and said, you know, we're seeing the best sort of engagement if that video is 15 seconds or less. So that tells you right then and there, their users, they're not interacting with them. They're just watching it momentarily and skipping.
Right.
With that in mind, if the advertiser or if a marketer wants to make a story, that story needs to be 15 seconds or less. Mm-hmm. The best videos I've seen work well so far are ones that are scenic based.
Okay.
And that by that I mean, you know, don't have it be information based. Don't make it an infographic. Make it something like a lifestyle based video.
Right.
Something that draws the user in. They're wondering what else can happen.
Makes sense. You're trying to find the hook. And then once you hook them, then maybe focus on education. I think to your point, like a lot of people aren't going to watch, like if your video is 15 seconds, but within that 15 seconds, you're giving out 5 tips on how to better, you know, run your agency. Someone may not see that whole video, but that's, you know, they could want to click on that. So yeah, it's a good point. Hook them in and then educate with video. Animations, I think, is like I see them here and there on LinkedIn. It makes me stop sometimes just because I think it's so different. And I think less people probably use them over video and imagery. But again, I would imagine you want to keep those short and to the point as well. You can't have an animation that's, you know, a long, elaborate thing. It's a couple movements, right?
Exactly. We're not talking about a whole cartoon here. We're talking about a few slides, something to capture the user, something that wants them, that will make them say, all right, I want to learn more. I'm going to click this ad and I want to actively go to the website.
So we got lead gen ads, sponsored content ads, carousel ads. If you have lists that have the company name or the brand name, that's great. If you have lists that have emails, that's great as well. We can use both. And then you definitely want to incorporate images and videos and animation that's 15 seconds or less. Correct. Right. Okay. So now let's get down to the actual offer. The next step where we see a lot of campaigns have success, and then we see a lot of campaigns that didn't maybe go out as the advertiser planned. And a lot of times it has to do with the offer itself, not necessarily that they're targeting the wrong people, but another layer to the targeting is even if you're talking to the right person, what do they want at that point, and what are you giving them that they're willing to give you their information, even if it's a lead gen? So tell me what, you know, I know you mentioned white papers and things like that. What works best that you've seen on LinkedIn in regards to offers to get people enticed?
Right. I would say in terms of offers, I would want to start at the basics. Know your audience. Know who you're targeting. And by that, I mean, if we're going out there and targeting CEOs or, you know, the C-suite, we know that these individual people are busy. They've got a full schedule. Mm-hmm. They're most likely not going to be able to attend a webinar. And we've seen that firsthand.
Yeah.
These people, they want to download information now and reserve it for a quieter time. Mm-hmm. We oftentimes see, for example, if you're targeting a sales department, they want to learn more. They're active. They want to reach out. They want to absorb more information. They want to see where the best ideas out there to attract new people. So really, when you're talking about your offer, you need to first think about, okay, what audience am I targeting?
Yeah, that's a good point. And the offer too, you know, white papers and case studies and guides, you know, I think you can say throw that in there too. Educational material isn't something that all brands have or have a lot of. And I think sometimes they struggle. It's like, you know, I only have one white paper. I've maybe been advertising it for a long time. If I put it in my LinkedIn ad, do people really want to see that? Maybe, you know, if you're listening out there and that sort of describes the boat you're in, then take that as an opportunity to develop more content.
Right.
Like maybe whatever agency you're working with, if it's not more visibility, then maybe give us a call. Maybe we can help you see what the landscape looks like based on your industry, who you're targeting, and maybe what offers work well. And if you don't have that content, develop it. You know, that's the perfect time. It's twofold. You're going to have organic value on your website. You're going to give people something to read, and then you can give it to Caitlin, who can put it in your LinkedIn ad and find success with it. So anything else that on the offer side that you've seen work well, whether it be a hard or soft sell?
In terms of hard sell, so we've seen this due to trial and error. When a business wants to reach out for consultation, mm-hmm. we know in this day and age, people don't like getting on the phone. It's mm-hmm. very difficult for someone to see an ad and say, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to call you right now.
Yeah, yeah, it's
and
true.
Let's learn more. So we find, although it is very appealing to use LinkedIn as a sign on the contract kind of hard deal.
Yeah.
We don't see them work that best. We really see LinkedIn as a learn more tool or a download this guide, white mm-hmm. paper, sign up for the newsletter,
yeah.
something that can facilitate a user into that conversion funnel.
That's a great point that, you know, we could probably spend all day and other podcasts talking about, but you know, think about the stage of the funnel that user is in based on, number one, your targeting and knowledge of your industry and your audience, but number two, the offer that you're giving them. I mean, if you are offering someone a white paper that's very high level and educational and they download it and give you information, there's probably a slim chance then that they're ready to totally do business. It sounds like that white paper is valuable to them because they're doing research or they're learning. So it's very easy once you think about it. But like you said, people will advertise a very high level beginner type white paper or content like that. And then they'll reach out and they'll be very disappointed because that user isn't ready to necessarily close the deal. Number one, that's not fair to the user because they gave you their information. And number two, I think you should really look at your funnel differently and nurture that user. You have their email, you have their name, number, whatever information you collected. There's no sense in following back up or using other pieces of content to entice them. So that's a great point that I can't emphasize enough. Before we wrap up the podcast, Caitlin, was there any other tips or anything else on the LinkedIn platform that you wanted to leave the listeners with today as they go out there and start testing new ad units?
I would close it with some of our best practices, which are always test new creative.
Yep.
Always optimize looking at top companies, top industries. Use exclusions. Exclusions are your best friends in LinkedIn, demographic-wise,
mm-hmm.
as well as, again, know your audience, right? These are the people you want to nurture. These are the people you want to ultimately convert.
Yep.
If you don't understand what their need is, then you won't get them to convert.
Great point. So if you're out there currently testing LinkedIn, maybe haven't had the right success, or LinkedIn is not in your marketing mix as of yet, feel free to contact us here at More Visibility, info@morevisibility.com. Caitlin, thanks so much for stopping by and talking about LinkedIn today.
Thank you.